Welcome to the Brandon Drury Podcast. We're back again with no listeners. I actually checked my stats and I saw like people have listened to this or at least downloaded it. I mean, not a lot, but like more than five. I don't want to show my hand here, but somebody's listening. And whoever you are out there, thank you. All right, here we go. Your Twitter profile, The Great Divide. All right, so here there's two general ways to live, assuming you can stand Twitter, that is. All right, so the first line of your Twitter profile says it all. You are either A, something you were born with and didn't earn, or B, implying that you were in the middle of climbing Mount Everest. I'm going to repeat that because it's very important for today. Your first line of your Twitter profile, does it say who you are is something you were born with and didn't earn, or does it say that you were in the middle of doing something big? And not even like big, like a change in the world. I mean, like big to you, something important to you. And so I want to read a few of these. All right, so David Goggins, his first one, retired Navy SEAL, endurance athlete. Not bad. Joe Rogan, podcast host. Kind of boring, but we all know he does a lot of other shit too. Bert Kreischer, I am a party animal. Like, can you sum up Bert Kreischer better than that? He goes on to say, you know, as a comedian, podcast, and author and all this shit. A guy I follow, electrical engineer, Arturo 182, HW and SW, that means hardware and software. That means he's a hardware and software developer. Awesome, he's doing hard shit. Tim Dillon, stand-up comic. And then the most of Twitter, and I would say all of the rest of Twitter practically, is race and sexual preference. And I'm trying to get my head around, like, what would it take for me to do that? So we'll get into that, but here's the thing. A person should be really obsessed with something. Like, you should have something where you wake up in the morning, you think about it, and when you go to bed, you're thinking, how can I do that? And I got a buddy who made a fucking pair of shoes. He's a goddamn cobbler. He made Air Jordans, which I didn't know you could do that or wanted to do. I didn't know that was a thing. But there are people that say, you know what? I'm going to make my own Air Jordans. And I don't know how far down the rabbit hole you go if you're molding shit. Like, you know, the old story of the Nike guy was like using like a waffle iron or something to melt rubber. I don't know. But I saw a picture. They look exactly like real Air Jordans. So, I mean, good. I didn't know I needed cobbler friends, and maybe I don't. Maybe I should ditch him. But that's kind of cool. I got another buddy this week. He posted, he's a tattoo artist. And, you know, he's kind of a fuckhead, you know. I don't, you know. No, I'm kidding. He's all right. He's an all right dude. He's not a close buddy, but yeah, I know him. And he posted this owl he tattooed on somebody's arm. And it looks just like a black and white owl someone like took a picture of. Like, it is fucking photorealistic. It's crazy how, I mean, I saw it and I didn't know you could be that competent. I was blown away by this owl. It freaked me out how good this damn owl was. Like, I didn't know you could do that on an arm. And part of me is like, well, did he just like do some new technique? Like, did he use a tattoo pen, or did he like just like do some kind of iron on, you know, print it out on your computer and type of thing? I mean, and even if he did, it still impressed me. And I got another buddy. He's been refinishing the same fucking cabinet for like 6,000 times in his basement. He's trying to get the, he's a woodworking type of guy. That's his thing. And so he's been refinishing. He'll make a mistake and start all over, you know. He's into it. Like, there's no way he's going to make a shitty Twitter profile that says, you know, his gender. So here's the thing. People make shit. People do shit. And so how is white fuck chicks? How is that remotely goddamn interesting? Everybody fucks. Everybody has color of some type. Now, and people of color don't monopolize color either. White people aren't invisible. They're white. White's a fucking color. So so you may as well put have lungs as your Twitter profile. 10 fingers. Oh, that's offensive to the 9-finger community. I guarantee all those machinists that have lost a finger, mechanics and shit, they don't have a community. So after being on Twitter a month, here's what I've noticed. Depression is everywhere on that place. You don't see much conservative talk. There's a few guys that have fuck you money and don't give a shit if they get canceled or whatever. And they will actually post, like, a person should work for a living. Or, you know, like, oh my God, these crazy ideas. Like, you feel better if you work during the day, you know, that type of shit. And you see some of that, but I mean, it's like 1%. Like, it is a ghost town of, like, if you mention capitalism in a good way, Like, thank God for capitalism. Our phones are so fast and handy. Man, they will kill you. But anyway, so depression is everywhere on Twitter, I would say. I mean, maybe I'm lucky. A lot of my friends are, you know, I hate to say anything positive about them as they're pieces of shit, but but I don't have too many friends that sit around going, you know, I'm going to put a gun in my mouth today. I just don't encounter that too often. It happens, but, it, you know, it's not often. But it's everywhere on Twitter, and it's just so interesting how almost everybody has white fuck chicks, or they're, you know, they're more hip equivalent, of course. That's the thing. I chose white fuck chicks for a reason. One, because that's me, and I couldn't imagine putting that on my profile because it's fucking boring. But it goes past that. Let's just keep going here. So, you know, and maybe if you're a depressed person, you just can't get the motivation to get out of bed. You know, I've been there, and you work through it. Eventually, you'll get this little urge that says, you know, you should get up and, I don't know, draw a picture or something. You're like, you know, maybe you're still in your underwear, you haven't changed in 7 days or whatever, but maybe you draw your damn picture. And you're okay. And so, know what you do? The second you draw that damn picture, you go over to Twitter and you change your profile to draw pictures or equivalent. And I got a feeling your depression goes away right then because you now have purpose. And if you're putting white fuck chicks as your profile, you have no damn purpose. Why would you even be sitting around thinking about like your color of your skin or your sexual interests? Well, I mean, I get thinking about the sexual interest, I guess, but why would you sit around? Like, why'd that be on the top of your head? I don't know. Like, I guess it's so obvious to me that I couldn't imagine wasting brain power on that. But here's the thing. We're talking about white and fucks chicks, or, you know, assuming if you're a girl and put fucks chicks on there, then now we have an identity. So the problem is you get rewarded for your identity nowadays. There's a whole lot of people that do that anyway. And you could tell from my perspective in life, I listed a bunch of my friends and they all did shit. I didn't list what color their skin was or their sexual preference. That stuff isn't interesting. And it doesn't determine if a friend is cool or a person has merit, person has value. But regardless, all you have to do now is have an identity online, and you get showered with the likes. Of course, likes are bullshit, and that's what they don't tell you. Likes don't really make you happy. I mean, maybe a little. Maybe you post something, and you know, a shitload of people click on it, like, and you feel something, but it's fake, and everybody fucking knows it who has half a brain. But regardless, maybe you still chase that like anyway. But so yeah, you get a little happy, and then before you know it, you get kind of addicted to those likes. But those, again, those likes are not real. And you know they're not real. Friends laugh at you while you barf. Like when you fuck up. Friends borrow your shit and don't return it. Friends carry boxes when you move. Friends call you a pussy when you need it. And you're thankful. So that's a big thing about Twitter. Online in general. If someone calls you a pussy on Twitter, it's like, oh, I'm going to fucking fight you. It's a different kind of world where you can't correct a friend's bullshit. There's no feedback loop, and a huge part of friends is having somebody that calls you out on your horseshit. I just had a guy the other day. He's like a big fitness dude. He posted like, you know, he was doing deadlifts clearly, and he posted like a 500-pound barbell. And I said to him, "I go, you're supposed." He took a picture of just the barbell, but he wasn't in the picture. And I said, "Shouldn't you be in? You're supposed to lift the goddamn thing." And of course, later on, I posted some stretches I have to do to fix my knee, and he posted, "You're supposed to be doing the actual fucking stretch." He called me out of my bullshit. It was funny. I liked it. You know, and if some stranger, though, or somebody, just a Twitter icon, a Twitter avatar says something, "You should be just like me," then I'm like, "Well, fuck you, I'll kill you. You know, you turns into that mess. So, yeah, real friends do tangible things in real life that aren't allowed and that you just can't do digitally. No, Twitter cannot carry a box for you. And so this is something to where if all you're trying to do is get likes on Twitter, then you're missing the boat. And everybody knows this social media shit isn't real. It's not social at all. It's some new thing. But regardless, a like is a like, and you feel that little dopamine rush. So here's where this identity thing gets a little bit interesting to me. So the numbers have skyrocketed for people that are transitioning genders. And I go, okay, well, that's interesting. Well, what's causing this? I mean, is it just people are more comfortable doing it? You know, maybe 1990, it was pretty risque. And maybe it wasn't acceptable then. But here's the thing. We hope the numbers are legit. I mean, if it's really a zillion people want to chop their dicks off, then, hey, knock yourself out. But I do wonder what percentage of those people are chasing likes. You know, and I hope it's just zero. But since we have a way to get likes, like you get a dopamine rush, and especially if you feel alienated, you feel kind of alone, if Twitter is your world and suddenly you get 750 likes because you're talking about chopping your dong off, then I could see somebody being pretty desperate. Some people would. I mean, I don't know how many. And they would just chase it just to feel something. And so I feel for those people. And again, I don't know what percentage it is, but you just wonder if how many of these numbers, these suddenly skyrocketing numbers are, I guess what I'd call legitimate. Because I do worry about people going down a road they didn't have to go. And I want to talk about that a little bit because, you know, I was pretty fucked up when I was 15. I mean, I drew this picture in Microsoft Paint, of all things, and I wish I had it. God, I don't want to show my son. Like, that's one of it's one of those kind of pictures. But it was a real shitty cartoon type of thing. A guy with a sweater on, and his head was the Earth. And it was just, you know, like blue and green, like a two-color Earth. And he has a gun. He's pointing a gun to his own head, but his head's Earth. And all it said was, fuck the world on it. So it's not good. Like, you dig into that. I was pissed off at the world, and I was pissed off at me. You know, Jordan Peterson gets in that malevolent stuff. And I don't remember ever really hurting anybody else at all in that phase, but I was really hard on myself. But I felt completely isolated. And ironically, this was right when we got internet at our house. This is back in the dial-up days. And I just found chat rooms, and I would stay up all night chatting with these other quote-unquote freaks from, across the globe. And that was kind of like became my social group. It overtook a lot of the social relationships I had in real life. And it was a tough time. There's a lot going on, and it's beyond the scope here. But I definitely felt like a complete freak. And I definitely felt like I didn't belong in Missouri. I felt like there were some other place that I possibly belonged. I didn't know what it was. And I really couldn't tell you what was so freaky about me. I just felt isolated. And so, you know, that was like 25 years ago. I'm 40 now. So when I was 15, I was really fucked up. You know, and I don't think I would have chopped my dick off, but you have to wonder if there would have been a magic place where all I had to do was say the magic words, and then, you know, suddenly you get showered with like 1,000 people, 10,000 people that just love you. You gotta wonder if a person is completely starved, what they'll do for a sandwich, you know? So, I don't know. I think that element is in there. And if a lot of these people that were in transition mode or whatever seemed healthy and seemed happy and content and what, you know, whatever, didn't seem like they were quite fucked up, I would say, you know what, no big deal. You know, chop off any parts you want to chop off, glue on any parts you want to glue on. But the problem is we're seeing a lot of people that don't seem happy after, they don't seem happy before. And for some reason, it doesn't seem to bother the person who's desperate for a like. They'll take a like from anyone they can. They don't even give a shit if the person they're getting likes from is miserable. But they don't judge the quality of where those likes come from. And, you know, that's something you really gotta wrestle with. But here's what's interesting. So, yeah, I was on these chat rooms, on AOL chat rooms all the time, looking for other quote-unquote freaks just so I could escape my own horse shit. And what really saved me was I got a job. I got a job at Burger King, of all things. And I was suddenly around all these people that, you know, I thought hated me. Like, I'm talking about my peers, people my own age. I thought I was just a loser and whatever. And had these other people that were more or less the cool kids at school. And it wasn't like I was ever that unlike. Like, I don't remember. I just was kind of like a regular person. You know, they make movies about regular people in teenage land, self-deprecating humored kind. You see those where they're not the popular, they're just the regular one. That's the default place. And I even here just lately, I've been thinking about like, oh yeah, I could have banged that chick. Because I thought like chicks, I had no idea. I had no idea what to do with girls. I was scared shitless about girls at the time. And, well, now I'm scared of them too, but for the totally opposite reasons. But so anyway, yeah, so I was just a regular dude, but I was convinced I was like some complete shit scumbag. And when I started working with these people at Burger King, some of them were a lot more popular, or girls were dating popular guys, whatever. I realized that they were just as fucked up as I was, sometimes a lot more fucked up, sometimes a lot more insecure. And it turned out I realized I was you know, for lack of a better word, normal. You know, I wasn't near as fucked up as I thought. Let's just go that route. And so what saved me from God knows what, from what I could have done, if I had some kind of real reward system from a Twitter-like invention back in 95, was actually getting around people. And I guess it's the Remember the Titans argument. You want blacks and whites to get together during the segregation? Yeah, smash them together, let them fight for a little bit, and before you know it, they're all on the same team and they're hugging at the end. There's something to that. Like, people like winning football games way more than they like race. I guarantee you that. And Remember the Titans was a great example of that. But you got to have people that are, you know, competing. They have to be on doing a game. And that's kind of what I'm talking about, you know, coming full circle here. What you put on your profile is, if you say, I'm a football player, well, then God damn it, you want to win the football game. And then suddenly things like race and identity and preference, like, okay, your quarterback's gay, but he's an All-American, we'll take him. No one gives a shit. Merit is always more interesting than the identity shit. And I think everyone knows that in 2021, despite what the media or whatever's projected. And I've kind of gotten into that with other podcast episodes where I've ranted, like, where's the racism again? I mean, maybe there's some, but it's just not obvious to me. And I could be blind. And I will totally vouch for being an idiot on this stuff, but I just don't see it in my own world. I see people that want to make money. I see people that want to make shoes and owls and cabinets and electrical engineering shit. But I just don't see people that are like, my number one priority is to make sure the black people don't get anywhere. Number two priority is to make cabinets. Like, you just don't see that. I don't. So, closing it up. If your profile, your Twitter profile is boring as shit, then change it to archery or explosives expert or incompetent podcast host. Fucking do something.